This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station Joy 94.9.
At the top of the show, I did tell you that there was a couple of musos who sort of kind of got a bit, we might say, jaded with the industry, and with all of their wisdom decided that opening a wine label was a really good idea. One of those two men is David Chatfield. What did you want to call him?
I can't even remember now. I'm just looking at the photo and I just sort of...
The golden bearded wonder or something.
The sweet bearded wonder.
Sweet bearded wonder. Well, he's on the phone. David Chatfield, good afternoon.
Hi, Dave.
I'm flattered. Nobody's ever called me a sweet bearded wonder.
We're looking at this photo of you online with the dog, the Mac, and the bottle of wine. It looks pretty comfortable.
Yeah. You know, that's the life.
So, Dave, tell us the story about Upstep Wines. I was quite taken when I first heard of you. I thought, a couple of disgruntled musos have all of a sudden decided to go into the wine business.
I guess, to be fair, I hadn't been a muso for a long time, but I worked in the music industry a long time. I was a promoter bringing out international bands to Australia.
Yep.
And I guess, part of it's age. You feel less and less connected with youth culture, and that's where your audience is when you're a promoter. And part of it's just falling in love with something else. So I'd loved music for a long time but felt less connected to it, and I guess I was exposed to a lot of good food and wine as part of that industry, and yeah, that's where my heart ended up, and thought, well, I don't want to die wondering. I'm going to make wine.
And so there you are, making wine in the Yarra Valley. Now you're doing...
I'm literally making wine now.
As we speak.
Awesome.
I'm actually in the winery. We had a couple of reds that we had to... do a bit of work on. So I've jumped off the forklift when you rang.
Very good.
So
Nath, your business partner, how did you guys meet? Did you meet in the music biz?
No, we actually studied together. So right. He played in bands in Perth, and anyway, similar sort of story, I suppose. Fell in love with wine and started a degree as I did, which we've both dropped out of now. But we met studying, and then we reconnected when we were both working in the Yarra Valley, and just had a beer one night, and he told me he was going to make a wine, and would I be interested in teaming up?
I'd like to try some of these, especially the Nebbiolo.
Yeah, the Nebbiolo is a cracker. Yeah, probably my favourite wine of the 2013.
Is that the bottle you have in your hand lying on the couch with the dog?
No. It's actually something French. Yes. Whilst I love, making wine in Australia, I kind of tend to gravitate towards European wine, I guess, these days.
Oh, it's very sophisticated. So you're making a Sauv Blanc, making a Nebbiolo, making a Chardonnay.
We are, and then we've also done a Grenache Shiraz Mourvèdre this year.
Oh, nice little GSM.
Yeah, and also a Shiraz from the Yarra.
Wonderful.
And we've done a second Sauv Blanc. So all our wines are single vineyard.
Yep.
So single site wines, and we've done Sauv Blancs from adjoining vineyards. They're pretty much across the road from each other, and completely different wines, so that's a very interesting exercise.
David, the wine industry is considered by some to be in peril. So we've had years of a glut where there's been too much wine.
Yep.
We've got horrendous taxes, which means that you're paying ridiculous amount of money. We've got still the majority of Australian wine sales are in cardboard boxes.
Correct.
And not in bottles. The market is gravitating towards sub $15 or $20 wines. Are you out of your mind going into a wine business in this day and age?
Well, I think many people said I was out of my mind going into music as well, but there is a growing, I suppose, proportion of the population who are interested in, the origin of where things come from. They're interested in supporting small producers. I think a lot of the tales of woe that you hear are coming from the top end of the industry, where, the bulk wine end, which is highly competitive. Not that where we sort of operate isn't, but I think we're in a completely different sphere to, all those problems that you've outlined. We're a small producer, and there's a growing segment of the population who are really interested in, who makes the products that they want to consume, the food and beverages, and where they come from and how they're made. And
so you're talking about provenance, and Gavin, this leads me back to you, because I think provenance is an incredible driver of the way that people are eating and shopping and purchasing now. a discussion I was having yesterday was I'm actually starting to see a few more independent liquor stores starting to open again. Mm-hmm. So we went through a period where they all closed or they all became a Vintage Cellars or a BWS. Sure. We're seeing more and more of those independents open now, and I think that's a bit of a nod to the provenance of some of the wines that aren't available in those big chains.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think you and I have talked in the past, but if you don't know where the provenance of your ingredients, no matter what they are, and, you know, in 2014, you're just simply sort of out of the game. So whether it's wine or whether it's coffee or chocolate or
gin.
Yeah.
David, are you of the same mind that provenance is going to be the driver and make the success of the industry?
Look, I think there's two sort of factions in the consumer world, and there are those people who just don't give a stuff where their food and beverages come from. But
those people we call the McDonald's purchaser.
Yeah, exactly. But I think at the level we operate at, and I look at what I do as part of a kind of a movement of small businesses, be they restaurateurs, food producers, liquor stores, wine bars, and if we all sort of band together and look after each other, I think we present really great products to consumers and we present really great stories. And, yeah, I think, you know, that's the way to build what we're doing. I mean, all the bars and restaurants that stock our wine, I go and chat with the owners. They're the people who buy my wine. So I'm not interested in, you know, Dan Murphy's or Vintage Cellars.
Or those big chains. How do you get to consumers? I know you're taking part in Flavour Exchange, which is happening next Thursday and Friday at Federation Square at the Atrium, which is a gathering of Victorian producers. And I know that you're taking part in that for the first time.
Correct, yes.
Is that the best way for you to spread the story of Out of Step by being direct consumer, being able to talk to the consumers about why you do what you do?
Well, given we have absolutely no marketing budget, we're in debt to our eyeballs.
Yes.
And it is. It's when people can interact with you on a personal level and hear your story, and, you know, some people want to hear it in depth and other people just want to, you know, eat it in a nutshell, but It's the best way to sell your wine is to be able to talk directly to people who are interested in pursuing, you know, like you said, the phenomenon of provenance.
And that people try it.
Yes.
Sorry, and people try it. Yeah.
And that's where the advocates come from. I mean, you're not going to become an advocate or emotionally connected to a brand. And sorry, I'm talking marketing speak now because that's what I do Monday to Friday. You're not going to be able to have that that connection to a brand without, first of all, having heard the story or know the story or met the winemaker or met the grower or met the chef or whatever it might be.
Exactly. Well, I guess, you know, no disrespect to Penfolds or Hardy's or any of those big brands, but they don't have an identity. And mate, a lot of people don't care. They're happy to drink wines from those producers, and there's nothing wrong with those wines. You know, they're technically fine, but I don't think they have a story.
They don't have a soul.
Yeah, the story is lost in you know, the ages because they've become...
Well, they would have at one point. I mean, I think that's what makes it... You know, at some point, they were small, you know, producing very boutique stuff. And I think that's... The same challenges in the restaurant industry. How do you maintain your identity the bigger that you get? And it's a challenge. It can be done. It requires a lot of effort, a lot of integrity.
Indeed. Yep. Dave, for people who would like to know more about where they can buy your wines, I know you've got places like Black Heart and Sparrows. You know, there's places as far as the Town Mouse and Rathdown Cellars and those little sort of boutique places have got your wines.
Cumulus have been a great supporter for us.
And excellent.
The Vita Buena in the city, great wine bar on City Square.
Yep.
And you'll have to come see us because we open on Monday.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've got a chef in the studio who's quite interested in, or not just a chef, he and his business partner are opening another venue this week. Next week?
Monday.
Monday. Yeah. Who would be more than happy to talk to you.
Oh, congratulations. And yeah, it'd be fantastic to meet up.
Yeah, let us cross paths.
I will do those introductions off air, I think, would be the best idea to do.
The prudent thing to do, I think.
Yes, indeed. So people can, of course, go to your website, which is outofstepwineco.com.
That's it.
They can read all about your wines and, of course, buy your wines online. And they can even find out where to pick up the phone and talk to you as well.
Yeah. Look, we have no fear about interacting with anyone at this point of the business. You know, we just want to introduce people to, you know, our wines that we're really passionate and proud of. So.
Well, from the story that goes with him, I think, tells as much about the wines as what's in the bottle and what's in the glass. David, continued success. Good luck. I look forward to seeing you at Flavour Exchange on Thursday and Friday at Federation Square.
Fantastic. Please come say hello.
From 4:30, you can get down there and you can go to flavourexchange.com.au to find out more about that particular event at Fed Square. David, good luck.
Thanks, David.
Thanks very much.
Cheers, mate.
Cheers.
What a nice fellow.
Mm.
And what a great story, you know. Can't be bothered being in the music industry anymore. I'm getting too old. Go and do a couple of vintages. So he worked for, I think it was Giant Steps, an innocent bystander, which is down there in the valley. Also worked at Oak Ridge doing a vintage. So crafting the skills to be able to make some wine and put themselves into a crap load of debt.
As you do.
Yeah, well... Yeah, you know, I'm probably singing to the choir there, Gavin Baker.
Anything worth having is worth going in debt for, I suppose.
Well, I believe so. I believe so. Look, we're going to have a couple of messages. I'll say goodbye to you as well, Gav, because I'm going to just play in a bit of a chat that I had with Marco Pierre White. So thank you again for coming in. Good luck with Kiara.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I will be down to visit and check it out very shortly and wish you and Pete continued success.
Great. Have a great weekend. Thanks for
good
having
stuff.
Me.
Thanks, Gavin.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.